Good morning. Good morning, ladies. I think we can all agree that this has been an incredible study this year.
Yes.
When we began these lessons on prayer, we laid out our true goal, the true goal that we set at the very beginning, which was not to gain some academic knowledge about prayer, but to understand God's perspective on prayer and have his word reshape and conform our hearts and affections such that we form the necessary convictions to live out what he, through his Holy Spirit, has taught us to his glory and honor. Through this study, our biblical understanding of prayer has deepened. I think you can all agree to that. We have a better biblical understanding of what prayer is now. In lesson one, we asked the question, all the way back to lesson one, we asked the question, what is prayer? And we learned that prayer is the opportunity to commune with the all-powerful, sovereign God. And it begins with a heart that seeks Yahweh. Through each of these lessons, we've studied Old Testament and New Testament examples of men and of women who prayed. They were devoted to Yahweh, and they sought him with their whole heart. They longed for and desired to know him and to be in his presence. They prayed and they waited with expectation for Yahweh to answer, grounding their prayers in what they knew to be true of his sure and immutable character. Their prayers were grounded in who God is. Beginning in lesson 10, we started to narrow our focus in on the prayers of Paul. Having been brought to saving faith and commissioned by Yahweh to proclaim the gospel to the Gentile world, Paul, guided by the indwelling Holy Spirit, prayed consistently for the spiritual growth, maturity, and unity of the churches, the body of Christ, his bride. Through Paul's recorded prayers, God in his word has supplied a plethora of examples to instruct us on how and what to pray. Studying these prayers has helped us learn God's heart and what he desires us to focus on and to not focus on in our prayers to him. As a leadership team, we have endeavored to provide time to practice each and every week what we've been learning from God himself about prayer. I know for some of us, this has not been an easy adventure. Changing old habits, bending our will to his, is usually not very easy. But after reflection over these lessons, I'm sure that we can all conclude that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has enabled us to grow. He has enabled us to grow in how we pray. And that is something that we can rejoice on. So join with me as we go before the throne of grace, thanking God for all he has done this season. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are the author and the perfecter of faith. Omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, Lord. We praise you for this season of study and for the way that you have met with us and transformed us through your word. Thank you that prayer is not merely a topic that we are to learn, Lord, but it truly is a holy privilege. Communion with you, the all-powerful and sovereign, gracious and loving triune God. As we begin wrapping up our study this morning, Lord, we do pray with all of our hearts that you would continue to turn what we've learned into convictions and holy affections, so that at the core of our being, we would be living out what we have learned from you with wholehearted devotion, humble dependence, and true faith-filled obedience. May our lives, Lord, including our prayers, bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to get my little tea here. Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. Chronicles 16. We're going to look at verses 8 to 12, but really focusing in on verse 11. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh. Call upon his name. Make known his acts among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Muse on all his wondrous deeds. Boast in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek Yahweh be glad. Inquire of Yahweh. Some translations say seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wondrous deeds which he has done, his miraculous signs and the judgments uttered by his mouth. Verse 11, one more time. Inquire of Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face continually. Turn now to Colossians. Colossians 4. We've spent quite a bit of time in Colossians this session. We actually started right here. Colossians 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We started our adventure this season learning to seek Yahweh and devoting ourselves to learning to pray biblically. And this is what we've endeavored to do each and every week this season in WOW. In your notes, on your notes page, I left a lot of space to write, so you're probably like, what is happening? There's nothing on there. Because this really isn't about me teaching today. This is all about what we've learned together and how we can encourage each other to keep growing in our prayer lives. So looking at day one, number two. Day one, number two. How would you explain the principles of prayer? We were asked to review lessons 1 through 6. So we went all the way back to kind of setting the foundation. So what were some of the principles that you found from verses 1 to 6, or from lesson 1 to 6, that explain the principles of prayer?
Praising God for his attributes.
Praising God for his attributes, for who he is. So prayer involves praise. Praise of who he is.
We have to seek the Lord.
We have to seek him, yes. So seeking him is knowing all about him and desiring to be in his presence.
Seeking him with your whole heart.
With your whole heart. And how do you have a whole heart that seeks God? What kind of heart do you have to have?
You have to be saved.
You have to be saved. So you have to have a right relationship with the Lord to seek the Lord biblically, right? Yes. What else?
I wrote humility and thanksgiving. Like, come to him with humility and thanksgiving.
So, right.
So it's confession, but thanksgiving.
Yes. So the right attitude, humility, thanksgiving, confession.
It's that expression of our faith and dependence on him.
Right, so an attitude of faith and dependence on him.
And striving to do God's will.
Striving to do God's will. So we come with an attitude of wanting to align our will with his, striving to do God's will. Yeah.
Confessing
What's the end goal?
To bring God glory.
To bring God glory. Yeah. To bring God glory. So we're to be devoted to prayer. We're to understand that prayer is important. We have to be saved in order to come to the Father with that devoted heart, unless it's a prayer of repentance, which is still a devoted heart to Him, a recognition of their need for, to acknowledge God as the one true God, to come with praises and adoration, ascribing glory to Him. Remember we talked about that intersection of prayer? True prayer happens at that intersection of surrender to and celebration of God. So it's a surrendering to God on the horizontal in every area in life. We're surrendering to Him. And then that vertical line is a celebration of who He is and what He's done, keeping our eyes fixed on Him. And then there's rejoicing and gladness and joy. So did anybody have anything else that we didn't cover yet, that wasn't said?
We're longing for God. We want the intimacy between us and God.
Right, it's that intimacy with God. So growing in the depth of that intimate relationship that we have with Him. So then we were asked to look at the example of Jesus' prayers in question 3. So what primary truths did you gain from Jesus' example of prayer?
When He prayed to His Father, he went out and He was out alone. He spent a lot of time just with His Father, not with anybody else.
So He prayed to the Father and He made it a priority to be with Him exclusively.
Yeah.
What other truths did we find?
Prayed when tempted, prays before big decisions, thanks God for hearing, prays often, early in the morning.
So He was constantly praying, consistent in prayer.
He focused on God and not His will.
Focused on God and not His will. Mm-hmm.
He wanted to glorify the Father's name. He wanted unity. He prayed through multi-generations ahead. For all believers at all times. And
right.
All places. So the Church Universal.
Right. The unity of the Church. Yeah. Yeah.
He often withdrew into the wilderness to pray.
Right, so just that exclusivity of Him and the Lord. Yeah.
He also looked up to heaven and prayed and prayed.
Mm-hmm. So prayer, He just modeled. Prayer was a part of every element of His life. He prayed before He ate. He prayed before decisions. He prayed before ministering, He prayed often by Himself. Prayer was a constant element of His life. And He prayed with total dependence on the Father in His incarnation. Right? He submitted His will. So there's a lot that we can learn from Jesus' example. And so as you think about those and you meditate on how did Jesus pray, that can be something that you can be incorporating in your prayers, right? We model our prayers after Jesus. So how has your understanding of prayer in general grown? So these are some personal testimonies. We're going to have some of those next week, but now is everybody's chance. So what are some of the ways that you have grown in your understanding of what true biblical prayer is? Yeah.
I need to pray to praise him more.
So including praise in our prayers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Need to continually getting closer and closer to him.
So seeing prayer as a necessity in your relationship with the Lord to draw closer to him. Yeah.
It's a privilege.
It's a privilege.
Yeah, it is what a Christian is given, the ability to do because of salvation. So it's our gift and privilege.
Right. Seeing it as a privilege, I think, takes some of the nonchalantness out of it. Right? It's a privilege that we have. I love that verse that says, you know, looking back on before, without Christ, you had no access. You had no hope. But in Christ, you have access. You have hope. And so when we remember that, we go to prayer with some reverence. So what else? What are some of the other ways that your understanding has grown?
To remember to always thank him when he answers our prayers.
Right.
Sometimes we don't do that.
So praying with an attitude of thanksgiving.
Even if he doesn't answer.
Even if he doesn't answer.
Which are the way we want.
Yeah, right, the way we want. Yeah. I always think of my little orange triangles, right? In everything, give thanks. That's not an option. That's a command. So I need to be thankful.
Well, it says pray without ceasing also.
Right. And we looked at what that meant. I think, did anyone grow in their understanding of what pray without ceasing really is talking about? Did anyone have kind of a false understanding of that? Okay, so we were all on the same page. That is awesome. That is awesome.
I think praying more for spiritual needs rather than just physical needs.
Right. Yeah, I think that across the board has been something that we've all grown in our understanding of the importance of spiritual needs. Yeah. Yeah. What are some other ways that you have grown?
I think recognizing when I haven't prayed enough because I'm anxious.
Because you're anxious, so recognizing I haven't taken that to the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So those opportunities when the Lord draws our attention to, oh, I actually have a remedy for this. Think about that. That's nice. Right? Yeah. A preventative remedy for this. Yeah. I know in my understanding and my growth, early in my walk, I had just this idea of prayer was just, you know, talking to God about whatever I wanted, and asking for things. Because if you don't have it, you got to ask for it. So talking to God about whatever I wanted and asking for things.
Isn't that a communication from him?
Yeah. And while I think that is true, but I think my understanding was very shallow at that point about how I understood prayer. It is going to him. It is talking to him about all the things. And it is asking for things. But now we've come to an understanding where there's an attitude that I have to do, that I have to bring with it, an attitude of reverence and thankfulness and humility. And so I don't just run in screaming like a toddler to the throne of grace. There's a reverent attitude with which I approach Abba, who is also my king. And when I ask for things, okay, what are the things? Is it just anything? Do I just approach him with anything that I want?
We can, but...
We can, yeah, but where's my attitude in that? So it's just that consideration of how am I approaching? What am I approaching him for? What is the purpose? Why am I asking for those things?
Instead of for yourself to glorify God.
Right, yeah, just to please myself because I want it. I want my life to be more comfortable. I want, or desire to glorify him, right? I have grown in that realm as well. And knowing that through prayer is where he is infusing his peace and his hope and his joy. That's where I'm getting that. That's where the Holy Spirit is putting that into my heart and stealing up my soul for all the things that he has for me. And then one of the biggest things that I think I've learned, and maybe you've learned this as well, you know, we all know 2 Timothy 3:16. We could probably say, a lot of us say this by memory, right? All scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, adequate for every good work. And I know that. And so I start looking at all the lessons, and then we have all these prayers, and the bells start going off in my mind. Prayers are scripture. Prayers are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for training, for correction, all of those things. And so why am I not addressing them that way in my own heart? Why am I not thinking about them in terms of how are they supposed to conform me into the image of Christ, and how are they supposed to conform me to how I am to approach God? He inspired the writers of Scripture to approach God with certain things, with a certain heart, with a certain attitude, and Paul with commands. And why am I not letting that change how I pray? So that has definitely changed how I pray. Any other areas of growth that you have seen just in your own life, in your own prayer life?
I know the areas where I need to grow.
Right? But that's part of it. Areas that you're like, you know, I think I have a handle on this, but I want to grow more. Yeah. So what are some areas? So what are some areas you want to apply? We're going to get to that in a minute, but you could say it now.
I read recently about he will give you the desires of your heart, but your desires are, I want my desires to be his desires, mm-hmm. so that we are intimate and together in my growth, you know, because, yeah.
Right. I love that. Intimate and together. I can't even tell you the amount of conversations where that boat analogy has come up. We're all in the boat together. We're all rowing together. We need to be on the same page in cadence as we're walking this life together, all centered on God's will. Yeah, aligning our desires to his. That's definitely something we can be praying for.
Yes, please.
For all of us, yeah.
I think I've grown a little bit, and you know, you have to say that, but I've grown a little bit at least in praying specifically for the sanctification of church bodies everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because that's what Paul was praying for all the time. And when you see all of his prayers line up, it's for their sanctification, the salvation and the sanctification. And that, and then you can get to chapter 4, walk the worthy walk. Then you can get to chapter 3, put off, put on of classes. Then you can get to all, you know, it's that foundation of you have to be continually being sanctified. And that's only done by the Word and believing the Word that is true for me and true for others. You know, Patty, put off.
Right.
Patty, put on.
Yeah. Increase prayers for sanctification for others and other churches.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We have a lot of churches in our area. How often do we pray for their sanctification? That those who are truly believers in those churches would be sanctified. That they would be glorifying God over there in that city. Definitely something that we can continually consider as we are growing. So then we were asked this, yes, but how? Yes, but how? Kind of a question here. So we've grown in our understanding. Question 4 talks about how. How can you apply these things? What can you apply with the Spirit's enablement in the coming months? So the idea is, what do you need to apply, and then how do you intend to do that?
First, you have to go before the Father, before anything.
So you actually have to pray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got to pray. We got to pray.
Pray and apply.
Pray and apply. Yes. Yes. So have we thought through how?
And apply.
How we're going to apply those things?
By trusting you in the Lord and letting him be in control.
Mm-hmm. Trusting him, letting him be in control. What are some practical ways? Sometimes I think we think application all happens right up here in our little brain space. What are some of the practical things we can do?
Taking our thoughts captive.
Okay, still up here.
Well, I'm trying to work on being content in all circumstances. Yesterday I was driving and the light turned green for me to turn, and this truck goes by with 2 long trailers on it. It was like, oh gosh, thanks buddy, now I can't go anywhere, and I had to catch myself. Okay, just be content. How's it for some reason? Quit complaining.
So actively taking thoughts captive, actively being content. Yeah.
I'd say just actively setting aside a time and sticking to it, even if it's, you know, consistently within 5 days or something, you know, giving yourself a little bit, but start that habit of having a consistent appointed time to focus on that.
Yeah.
It sounds mechanical, but if you can start that way, I think that then we can put up, you know, our feet can fall, started and when our heart
right. Start creating the muscle memory. The brain memory, right? Sometimes you just have to set a timer. Like, honestly, sometimes you just have to set a timer. Sometimes you have to make a plan. You know, you want to study the prayers in Scripture. Well, make a plan. You have some resources in the appendix, right? We took them out. We studied all those prayers of Paul. You make a plan. Once a week, you're going to read through them all, and you're going to take some notes, or you're going to pray one of them, or you're going to memorize one of them to pray consistently that week. That those are some practical things. What are some other practical things that we might consider as we work to apply those things that we're learning?
Years ago when Nancy Peters lived here during the summer, she and I would get together on a Tuesday morning and pray for the academy because we both taught at the academy. And so we would pray a couple hours, you know, just two, and then we'd go on our merry way and then keep praying for those things throughout. So that was every week. So that was really precious. That was a precious time. And then I know a lot of you exercise or walk or do things, stuff like that, maybe with a buddy. And for some of that walking time, you can go totally to prayer, exchanging prayers and just praying as you walk or as you exercise at home or do whatever thing. You set that time, okay, this is a prayer, one of my prayer times where I'm going to do this. Every time I do this, I pray.
Yeah.
And so that's just through the, pretty soon, you realize you're praying more and more and more because, well, if I can do it here, I can do it over here. If I can do it when I'm doing dishes, I can do it when I'm vacuuming. And so when
I... Right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Get a buddy. Do it together.
I found in the car, just turn off the radio or turn off whatever and pray while you're driving. Because
that's a good point.
God brings a lot of people or a lot of situations to your mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it takes a long time to get somewhere. That's right. A lot of minutes with the Lord. So.
Yeah. So sometimes it might involve setting aside something, turning off the radio, or instead of watching that episode of whatever show you like, you dedicate that time to praying for your family or the sanctification of the church or your grandchildren or whatever it is.
Another really practical thing is just don't pick up your phone before you've had that time with the Lord, because as soon as you pick it up, you know, whatever you're going to scroll through before you know it, so much time has gone by and then you have to move on or whatever.
Right, yeah. Kind of give yourself a rule. I can't do these things until I do the right thing or the one thing necessary. Sometimes I have to give myself rules. Not in a legalistic way, but just to help me create the habit, right?
It's being disciplined.
Right.
You know, because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, there are times when you really wanted to accomplish something and you didn't get it done. But typically, at the end of the day, you've done exactly what you wanted to do and gotten those things that are important to you done. And so, if it's important,
yeah,
you can do it.
Right. And consistently praying that we would see prayer as important, asking the Lord to help us to see our need for it.
I also think that for me, starting my prayer with praise and adoration, even in the times when, you know, someone calls you and there's an immediate, and you want to pray right away, instead of going directly to that prayer request, praying to God and praising Him for His sovereignty and getting my mind right, because I can get so focused on the prayer request and I kind of miss the point. God's in control of this. He's not surprised. But if I start with the praise and adoration, reminding myself who He is, that changes the focus of my prayer just naturally.
Yeah. And recognizing that God is actually the solution to every problem we will ever encounter or every trial.
I think, you know, I came with the attitude that prayer was enough. You know, like if you're praying about something, that's a solution, but I think that now it's more like, but it's never too much. You can keep having another prayer. And we've been going through this lesson, and of course in the middle of it is when my granddaughter spent 2 months in a coma. And I did pray often, all day long, every time, you know, and sometimes I was out of words, but I still came to God in prayer because there was nothing I could do, nothing the doctors could figure out what to do. But you can't come too much.
Right. Because in that prayer, we're activating His garrison of peace. And so while the situation may not change, our perspective might, or our trust will grow, right? I don't think we can pray too much. I think that's kind of the point behind pray without ceasing. And so important. We talked a little bit about practicing His presence One of the things that we can for sure do is remember that he's actually with us. Mm-hmm. Just remembering that in the little moments. You know, we always seem to remember that he's with us in the big moments because, you know, we're crying out to him. But what about in the little moments when you're just walking around your house and something smells nice and you're like, wow, thank you, Lord, for the ability to smell that. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was great. Or something doesn't smell nice. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me to take the garbage out. Right?
I'm learning, oh, Lord, take the negative, making it positive to God.
Because he's like the solution.
Said, you know, something stinks, you know. That's a negative, but then you turn around and say, thank you, Lord, I can at least smell.
Right? I can smell. And I know what to do. I can take the garbage out. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So then we were asked to, day two, we had no questions for day two. It was just meditate an entire day. Take an entire day to meditate on the prayers of Paul. And then from that, we had day three and four. So what was at the heart of Paul's prayer, his requests for prayer for himself? So we took a little bit of time to focus in on Paul actually asked others to pray for him. What was at the heart of his requests for prayer?
Most of his prayers are for the love of others. I mean, he was praying for everyone. Mm-hmm. Especially the believers, that they grow in strength and faith and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. But he specifically asked for prayers for himself. So what were those things?
A lot of times it was so that he is able to come back to a church or to a group or to a home so that he can
continue working.
See them face to face.
To see them face to face.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Be there, encourage and all this, but for his ability to do so.
Right.
Wherever he was, sick, in jail, all the
things. All the things. Yep, yep.
Rescued from perverse and evil men.
Right. So that God would deliver so he could continue ministering.
Yeah, it was the furtherance of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so boldness. May I come to you for the purpose of preaching. May I, you know, that, and all the letters, you know. So yeah. It was the furtherance also.
Yeah, his desire was to be obedient to God's will in every area. He wanted to be faithful, no matter the circumstance, to continue on in the mission that God had given him, that Christ had given him, right? He wanted to be unhindered so that he could minister. Ephesians 6:19, that he wanted to be obedient to Christ, right? Proclaim him boldly. And the context of that was he understood he was in a spiritual battle. Every day he knew he was in a spiritual battle. So his prayers were, come along with me, get in the boat with me, let's do this together. Pray that, you know, I would be able to speak boldly, that I would be able to go back and revisit all those churches. So what was important to him with respect to those that he prayed for? So most of the prayers of Paul were praying for other people. Mm-hmm. So what was important to him to be praying for?
Holiness.
Holiness.
True faith.
True faith.
Love and unity.
Love and unity. Yeah, I prayed for unity a lot, that their love may abound more and more.
So I thought they would grow to know the closeness, that personal relationship that he had with Christ. Mm-hmm. That they would be able to experience that also.
Right. Yeah, Paul wasn't some exclusive person that had this, you know, tight relationship with God that no one else could have. He had a different mission than other people, but he consistently wanted everyone to know the depth of their love for God and God's love for them, so that they would, again, be in the same boat. They would be rowing the same direction, right?
And he truly loved them and told them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was always sweet. I mean, he didn't forget any of them. You know, he said, I'm praying for you, and he wanted, prayed for their walk with the Lord, labor of love, joy in the Lord, filled with the knowledge of his will, that they would bear fruit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So he was a gospel preacher. So he was concerned for their salvation. He wanted to share the truth. We saw that in Acts, right? As he's going into all of those cities and he goes to the synagogue and he shares the truth with them. And then when the churches are formed, then sanctification. He's praying for their sanctification, that they would know God, that they would be enabled to grow spiritually, to mature spiritually, for godly leaders, for unity, and all of that was for the glory of God. All of that was for the glory of God. So Paul had this deep and abiding relationship with God and Christ. We kind of thought through what his relationship with the Lord was. How was that manifested in his prayer life? So we're looking at day 3-4, letter C. Just from studying his prayers, how do we come to know his relationship with the Lord?
Well, he is close with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he relies on him. He trusts in him.
Yeah.
Talked with him night and day.
Night and day, right? So that was ongoing lifestyle of Paul, right? To pray to God. He knew he couldn't do anything that God had asked him to do without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So he was constantly going to the Lord.
God was everything to him.
God was everything to him.
The intimacy was stemming from the deep gratitude that he had for what Christ has done for him.
Right. Do you ever think back on who you were before God saved you?
Oh, Lord.
It kind of increases your gratitude for your salvation. At least for me, it does. I know where I came from. Yeah. Bonnie, you had mentioned in leaders group about this. Can you share your answer?
To see.
Yeah.
He loved the Lord above all else, humbly. Carrying out his mission in his prayer life was the fuel that enabled it. His prayer life was what fueled his ministry.
That was just a great visual to me. His prayer life fueled his ministry.
Kind of like Spurgeon or, you know, those great men that said, oh, I have a lot to do today. Whoever said that?
Yeah, that was Spurgeon. Yeah. I got to get up early to pray.
Pray 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I have many.
I got 8 hours of work to do. I better increase my prayer to 4 hours or something like that. From 2 to 4.
And as Paul was writing these letters, you know, and he'd be telling them and instructing them, and then all of a sudden he would just start praying again. Right, you know, like, okay, I need to pray again right now. And then he would instruct a little bit, but I'm praying for you about this.
Right.
So it just continually kept coming up.
Right. And you can see that in the pattern with how he wrote the instruction and then the prayer, that God would enable them to do that. So you know as he's writing, that's his pattern. As God is putting circumstances in front of him, he's praying, God, enable me to walk through this. And so important, I think, that we recognize Prayer needs to be our lifestyle. It needs to fuel not only our ministry, but it needs to fuel our life, our relationship with our family, our spouse, our siblings, everyone in our spheres of influence. Prayer has to fuel that if we're going to do it rightly, if we're going to live rightly to the honor and glory of God. So then we have D. How have you been encouraged in your prayer life as a result of your understanding of Paul's heart in prayer? Are there ways that you've been encouraged?
It does help if I write them out.
Writing them out. That's sort of my thing too. I need to write them out. Yeah. That has encouraged me a lot. Especially to see how far he's grown me from the first prayers when we started this study. Yeah. So how?
Sorry. I said that Paul's life was total surrender to God and all he said and did. And I want that total surrender to you.
Yeah, to be totally surrendered.
He was thankful in all things and for all people in his life. That was a challenger.
Yes, yes. We all have those precious people that are just a little harder to love. But Paul loved them. I mean, I think of the
Iodius and whatever her name was.
And Syntyche, right? Yeah, and he loved them. And he loved them. Yeah. In our small groups today, we're going to take some time to reflect over the season's study of prayer. We're going to discuss what we've been learning and in what ways God has enabled us to grow through the prayer, through the power of His Spirit. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. Y'all noticed day 5, a little bit longer. I was hoping to get done early. Didn't quite happen. But we'll be I'll give you 3 extra minutes, maybe. But before I close, I just wanted to express what an honor and a privilege it's been to stand up here and teach through these lessons. It's a very sobering endeavor that I truly don't take lightly. And I have coveted every single one of your prayers. When any of you sends me a text that says, I'm praying for you, my heart just explodes in praise and adoration to God for prompting you to pray for me, because I need it. I need all of that. And just a personal thank you to every single one of you that participated in the discussion, sharing all that God has been teaching you each week. It would be really awkward to stand up here and be like, so what do you think? And have nobody say anything. That would be really awkward. So thank you for that, for participating. I know changing the way that we do things isn't always easy. So small group leaders, yes, I love you. Thank you for just trusting God, for your willingness to just trust God in that process, for all of your amazing ideas. Ladies, your small group leaders are incredible women. Thank you to everyone who facilitated in prayer. I know for some of you, we pushed you all the way outside your comfort zone, all the way off the box, and you rose to the challenge. And so I know that wasn't easy, and it was a true joy watching the Lord grow you in that area. So thank you so much for that. And then a super, super, super special thank you for Denise, who spent months writing this study for us. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And then just personally, Denise gets to disciple me, so she has a big challenge on her. So for consistently just praying and every week I'm like, so what do you think? And she's like, her little pom-poms are out. So she is consistently pouring into me, so thank you for just loving me. I'm one of those that's not always easy to love, so. Anyways, she loves me, so that's amazing. I love it, and I'm very thankful for that. So let me close in prayer. From Ephesians 3, Lord, we bow our knees before you, the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Lord, we pray that you would give us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our soul, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being firmly rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or understand, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And the church said,
Amen.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much.